Studio 360.
If you can see,
yeah,
the numbers all go to 11.
Yeah, imitation can be a sincere form of flattery, but a certain kind of imitation is generally much more interesting.
Most blokes, you know, be playing at 10. You're on 10 here, all the way up, all the way up,
yeah,
all the way up. You're on 10 on your guitar. Where can you go from there?
Christopher Guest as Nigel in This Is Spinal Tap.
What we do is if we need that extra push over the cliff, you know what we do?
Put it up to 11.
11, exactly. One louder.
Why don't you just make 10 louder and make 10 be the top number and make that a little louder?
These go to 11.
Spinal Tap popularized the term mockumentary. But what was interesting about it is that there wasn't really a genre of rock documentaries that they were so much parodying. They were parodying rock musicians themselves and the whole culture of a certain kind of rock. It was ridiculous, but also, like all great parodies, a subversive cultural critique. And after seeing it 30 years ago, I could never look at a certain kind of rock band and rock musician again, or a documentary filmmaker, quite the same way. A few years earlier, I had done magazine parodies myself as a teenager at the Harvard Lampoon, which had made its modern name doing parodies. And there I learned that the best ones can be like Spinal Tap, meaning that you spoof the thing so well that afterward the real things feel like self-parody. For instance, I can't watch a Westminster Dog Show on television without thinking of Christopher Guest's movie Best in Show.
She has really given him a thorough going over. Are all judges that thorough? I mean,
yes,
she looks
yes.
at the teeth.
It's very important that all the attributes are examined.
I don't think I ever could get used to being probed and prodded. I told my proctologist once, hey, why don't you take me out to dinner and a movie sometime, you know?
Yes, yes. I remember you said that last
year.
Yes.
Yeah.
And similarly, a couple of decades ago, it was hard to listen to public radio without thinking of a certain Saturday Night Live sketch.
Well, Pete, Terry and I have been looking forward to having you on the show because we know you're the master of all kinds of Christmas goodies. Tell us about them.
The thing that I most like to bring out at this time of the year are my balls. They're made from a secret sweaty family recipe. No one can resist my sweaty balls.
That is Alec Baldwin with Anna Gasteyer before Alec had his own real public radio podcast. Today in Studio 360, trying to not sound like the parody version of a public radio show, we'll be looking at the art of parody.
It says here, name Danger Powers.
No. Danger's my middle name.
Every film genre now has its quintessential spoof or two. Cinematic parody really got started in the 1960s, during the spy movie era, on primetime television.
Hello, Control Central. This is Agent 86. I'm putting a hold on my shoe and switching to my wallet.
Get Smart was a parody of the show The Man from U.N.C.L.E., which was in turn a semi-parody of James Bond. Get Smart was co-created by a guy who, right afterward, made lots of feature film parodies.
Here I am. I'm Melvin Brooks. I've come to stop the show.
Blazing Saddles, Young Frankenstein, Spaceballs. Mel Brooks made a career for a while out of taking genres and showing us what is preposterous about them. I interviewed Mel Brooks 3 years ago. He said that he didn't think he could get away with Blazing Saddles these days.
I don't think I could even punch a horse, let alone a little old lady. It was, somewhere between 65 and 75 was a time of great comic freedom in America. And I don't think there's any other movie ever made that was as, the nice word would be bold. The real word would be an execrable taste, you know.
Good morning, ma'am. And isn't it a lovely morning?
Up yours,
Oh, Jesus.
What did you expect? Welcome, Sonny? You've got to remember that these are just simple farmers. These are people of the land. The common clay of the New West. You know. Morons.
That was a good moment.
He was always going for the laugh, of course. But for Mel Brooks, the real payoff was when his movies were as much about life and real people and the absurdities thereof.
We didn't care about the comedy that said, so my wife said, you never take me anywhere. Take me to a new place. I want to see new places. So I took her to the kitchen, you know, which is funny, you know, it's Henny Youngman. But that was not the comedy that thrilled or excited us. The comedy that excited us were what was actually happening to people. And if we could point it out in a humorous way, we knew that they'd get it. We were not the comedy of privilege, and we were not the comedy of stand-up and one-liners. We were the comedy, I think, without being too, you know, puffy, or humanity. I mean, we just cared about people.
Mel Brooks was the parody filmmaker of the 1970s. Amazingly, he released both Blazing Saddles and Young Frankenstein in one year, 1974. But then, in the 1980s, the funniest parody filmmaker, surely, was David Zucker.
Are you trying to bait me now by saying surely? Because I won't bite at that one.
Surely you can't be serious.
I am serious. And don't call me Shirley.
Leslie Nielsen and Robert Hayes in Airplane. David Zucker had also made Kentucky Fried Movie and then The Naked Gun and a couple of installments of the Scary Movie franchise. A few years ago, Zucker told me how he got into the parody racket.
When we got out of college, we wanted to keep making jokes and trying to cause trouble, I think. And so I went down to Chicago and saw a show that was called the Groove Tube. It was in a loft in Old Town, and the audience sat on a gigantic waterbed and watched 70 minutes of what was then the first Sony videotape.
Hmm.
And I had never seen anything like it, and that was what my epiphany was. I drove right back to Madison, and I said, we have to start a theater, and this is what we can do.
And that's exactly what you did, and that became Kentucky Fried Movie.
That became Kentucky Fried Movie, only after 20 minutes of live sketches, we would go to 20 minutes of video footage, mostly satires of commercials.
In the past year, over 800,000 Americans have died. Despite millions of dollars of research, death continues to be our nation's number one killer. Hello, I'm Henry Gibson, speaking to you on behalf of the United Appeal for the Dead.
Reviewers like Rex Reed couldn't believe that we would do something so tasteless and inane, but in gathering material for these commercial spoofs, we discovered the movie Zero Hour on late night television, released in 1957. It was a black and white movie, and it had that exact deadly serious demeanor.
Put yourself in this man's place. Aboard a transcontinental plane, suddenly half the passengers, including your own son, are struck by a paralyzing, deadly illness.
We would leave our videotape recorder, which was then a reel-to-reel machine, we would leave that going all night just to record the late-night movies. And when Zero Hour came on, we said, hey, this is a pretty good movie.
I want you to get on a horn and talk this guy down. You'll have to talk him onto the approach. And so help me, you'll have to talk him right down to the ground.
This makes us laugh just watching the seriousness of it. So that became Airplane.
I want you to get on the horn and talk that guy down. Now, you're going to have to let him get the feel of that airplane on the way. Then you'll have to talk him onto the approach. So help me, you'll have to talk him right down to the ground.
We would watch the serious movies and then put in our own zingers, and not even for public consumption, just in the room to be funny, and it ended up in the movie.
He'll never make it in this soup, never. Not one chance in a million.
I know. But it's his ship now, his command. He's in charge. He's a boss, head man, top dog, big cheese, a head honcho.
Captain!
Number.
Look at this!
I remember writing that one. What could we do to subvert the all-American image of airline pilots?
Uh-huh.
Of course, we weren't thinking on that technical level. We just kind of naturally wrote what we thought was funny.
I won't deceive you, Mr. Stryker. We're running out of time.
Surely there must be something you can do.
I'm doing everything I can. And stop calling me Shirley.
Did you ever think that you would be able to cast the people like Peter Graves and Robert Stack and finally Leslie Nielsen, the sort of real,
well, that was,
the real guys in these roles?
That was really our intention. We were going to try to get these real serious actors so that it would almost look, from the audience's point of view, like we had tricked them into doing the movie and they didn't know what they were saying. And one of the challenges was to really sit on the actors and make sure that they didn't wink or try to be funny.
In 2008, David Zucker made a film called An American Carol that was not nearly as beloved as his earlier films.
Okay, action. Here I am in the island paradise, Cuba, where there's a hospital on every block. As we can clearly see, Cubans have the very best health care in the world. Not like in America, where it can kill you. I've brought two Americans here, Bob and Joan.
An American Carol is Zucker's parody of a Michael Moore-style film. Zucker is a conservative, and the audience for that humor can be elusive.
It's probably easier to tear something down and make fun of something that is perceived as being the establishment than to promote something, like to support the military. It's harder to do that. And to make it funny.
Yeah. I mean, there is something almost inherently, if not incompatible, difficult about straight-ahead, old-fashioned, nationalistic patriotism and the kind of comedies you make.
I know. But it's almost I still see American Carol as being a little bit subversive because it's just so unusual to have this humor come from the right.
Right.
You know, what we're doing is taking on a big target. And on the way, you know, you just try to entertain, but you're exploding cliches of this, which isn't really a genre, but it's a political side. I mean, I don't see that a movie like this has ever been tried before, but I didn't want to do Scary Movie 17, so.
No, I understand. Good for you.